1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 and 58, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's kind of what the Holy Ghost was saying this evening. He's already given us the victory. Walk in it. Is what it says in 58. "Therefore, because we have the victory, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Hallelujah. Let me read a few other translations which kind of help expand that a little bit. The Amplified, it says, "But thanks," verse 57 and 58, "but thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, it is never wasted or to no purpose." We need to remember that and be reminded of that, that what we set our hands to is not wasted. Hallelujah. It has purpose. I like what Pastor Clinton used to say years ago. He said, you know, we see a tapestry on one side, and we see all of these threads going here and here, and it looks kind of, a mess would be, it has no symmetry, doesn't look like anything. And then you turn it around, and you see this beautiful tapestry, this picture, and it's really the same. We all have been given assignments to work for the whole, and it is not without purpose, and not rewarded either, it is rewarded. The NIV, it says, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." What are we supposed to do? Let's say that. I'm going to stand firm. I'm not going to let anything move me. And I am going to fully commit to the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, does that mean we're negligent where our other responsibilities are? No, not at all. It doesn't mean that we're negligent. You could be assigned to something that seems insignificant, but if God has assigned you in that place, it has significance. Amen. And that's where you're assigned to do what he has assigned you to do. Amen. The New Living Translation says, "But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear sisters and brothers, be strong, immovable," and I like this, this expands this thought, "always work enthusiastically for the Lord." Hallelujah. "For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Whatever we're doing for God, it has purpose and it's useful, not useless. The Bible in basic English, it says, "But praise be to God who gives us strength to overcome through our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause, my dear brothers, be strong in purpose and unmoved, ever giving yourselves to the work of the Lord, because you are certain that your work is not without effect in the Lord. What did that say? You're certain. See, if you're certain, well, let's put it this way. When you are steadfast and you're immovable, you are certain. You are certain that your purpose has value and you're not moved. I'm convinced. You know, through the years, when God assigned me here, nothing moved me. People would come and go. People would say things. You still doing that? Yep. And I would be faithful and steadfast to be where I was supposed to be assigned when I was supposed to be assigned. And so you need to be certain. I was certain of that. You need to be certain whatever God has called you to do. If it's a housewife, you need to do that with enthusiasticness. Because if that's where you're assigned, that's where you're assigned to be and do. Amen. Because if you've been assigned that, then you are a support to your husband. If that husband has some other responsibility, let's say in the support of the home, but maybe it's in doing the work of the Lord. Maybe he's assigned you to support. That's just as important. And you need to be certain and not look down upon it as, well, I'm just doing this. No. In God's eyes, that's just as important, because the husband couldn't fulfill his responsibility unless you did yours. And there needs to be that certainness in your mind and your heart. See, this is a heart thing, because when a person is steadfast or firm, this isn't in your mind, this is in your heart. I'll show you some scripture with that concern. This is the Bible in basic English, verse 58. It says, "And so, brothers of mine, stand firm. Let nothing move you as you busy yourselves in the Lord's work. Be sure that nothing you do for him is ever lost or ever wasted." This word steadfast, and I want to focus on that this evening just for a little bit. This word steadfast in the Greek, it primarily means or denotes being seated. Seated. So that means that you're, in other words, it means that you're firm, immovable. That's the other words that it goes along with it. Or steadfast or settled. And that's primarily what that means. I'm going to reference a few other scriptures here. Let's look at Luke for a second, Luke chapter 6. And it's interesting, coming behind or just what I was just teaching on having faith in God. This ties somewhat right into it, exactly. That having faith in God, you need to be absolutely firm, steadfast, immovable. In what? That my faith is in him. Luke chapter 6, and actually starting in last few verses in the chapter, 47, starting of 47, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." I'm reading from the King James Version. "He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and did what? He laid a foundation," or laid the foundation, "on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So when we talk about being steadfast, it talks about something that's settled or immovable. To me, the first thought I had was building your house on a foundation that's solid, so that you're not immovable, that you are steadfast. And Matthew 6, and looking at verse 19, says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness, or how great is that darkness? And it goes on and it says, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. It says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So when I think about this particular scripture, this made me think of this scripture when it says, be firm, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in what? Your job? It says abounding in the work of the Lord. It says seek ye first. It doesn't mean that we don't have jobs, but when I begin to put that first, it's out of order. It doesn't mean that we don't have wealth. It says you can't serve wealth and God, doesn't say that we can't have it, but you, when you serve it, it says you're either going to hold to the one or despise the other. So that means God will open doors of opportunity and blessing and wealth to you, but you're going to have to walk by faith in some of these things. You're going to have to seek him first. I like this. These are some other, in verse 24, it says, in the New Living, it says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one, see, and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So when I take and I begin to serve that, my heart is not, I'm not going to say you're not serving God, but this says here, I believe there's levels of that where somebody can be totally devoted to this and they don't have time to be involved in anything for God because I'm too busy. And that's not pleasing to God. He's saying here, seek ye first me, and all these other things will be added unto you. And I like with some of them, in this, the Barclay translation says, in Matthew 6:33, it says, make the kingdom of God and life in loyalty to him. See, that makes it a lot clearer. What's your loyalty to? Is your loyalty to him, or is your loyalty to serving money? See, loyalty spells that to me. It's like, you know, serving. Yeah, okay, we all serve. You know, blah blah. Loyalty. Let me just finish this thought. It says, make the kingdom of God and life in loyalty to him the object of all your endeavor, and you will get all these other things as well. Now, this is, let me read this here. This is a synonyms of loyalty. So sometimes we use that word loyalty. What does that really mean? Here's some synonyms. Commitment, constancy, dedication, devotedness, devotion. Listen to this. Faith, faithfulness. Fidelity, steadfastness. So this says here, your faith to him. Your faithfulness to him. See, that's seeking him first. Right? That's loyalty. That's loyalty to him. And what does that have to do with all of that? That has to do with your steadfastness or your loyalty, because that was one of the synonyms. One of the synonyms was steadfastness. So this says here, be ye steadfast, be ye loyal, right? Be ye loyal and immovable. Loyalty is a choice. I love him so much, I'm loyal to him. See, you can't be faithful to your mate. If you're faithful, you're loyal. See, and that's a heart thing. See, and all the other benefits come with that. See, of that loyalty and faithfulness. See, does that help anybody? Listen to some related words to, these are just related words in the dictionary to loyalty. Determination, firmness, resolution, dependability, reliability, trustworthiness. So in that, that says where my heart is. I'm loyal, that's what it says here, Matthew 6:33 in the Barclay. Make the kingdom of God and life in loyalty to him. That's having what we were sharing the past few lessons. Having faith in God. And my faith in him, if I have faith in him, then I have faith in him or faithfulness towards him, and I'm loyal to him. If I'm loyal to something, I'm going to put that first. I'm putting it first. And everything else comes second, third, fourth, wherever. See? But my loyalty to something means that's first. I jockey everything around, and that's first. See? That's the way it works. So because I'm not married, then my loyalty, see, is not first to someone that I'm not married to, right? My loyalty is to God first. And even in a marriage, you don't place loyalty to your wife or husband above God. Your loyalty is to him first, right? It doesn't say, seek ye first the kingdom of God after, right? Such and such and such and such. He's first. And that's where we are with this when it says, be ye steadfast, be loyal, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You can't, I will go as far as saying, you can't abound in the work of the Lord if you're not loyal. And you're not steadfast, then you're going to be moved. You're going to be wishy-washy. And think about that. You know, when it talks about wishy-washy, we're talking about wavering, right? What does James say? He that wavereth, right? He that cometh, what does it say? It says, anybody lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberty, upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith what? Nothing wavering. We could just pull this out right here. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So if you're wavering between this and that, you won't receive. So it's going to be hard to be abounding in the work of the Lord when you're wavering. Because you're like, I don't have time. I got this, I got that. I'm wavering, right? We always find, I remember a comment Pastor Clinton made one time. He was talking about, in this context, he was talking about the choir members. And, you know, you always saw the nice side of Pastor Clinton. You never saw him at choir rehearsals where he had to be firm. See, we always saw the nice kitty cat, right? We saw him on the other side. Yeah, he was nice. But then if you pushed buttons, you got something in return. And so he came in and he was sharing, you know, look, you know, people were slipping and sliding, getting in late and not being where they were supposed to be on time. So we said, okay, I have a job. I'm putting a choir together, and I expect everybody to be here. I've got 2 hours for rehearsal. I want everybody in place. You got to have your tape recorder. That's what we were using. You tape your parts. I'm not responsible for you to learn them. You take them and learn them. So you need to be here, and I need so many first tenors, second tenors, and so forth and so on. First sopranos, second sopranos, and so forth. So he was having a time dealing with people sliding through the door and saying, oh man, keep the door open, I'm late, blah, 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 and all of this stuff. So he said, okay, I don't want to be the arbitrator anymore. You telling me, you know, Aunt Susie, I got to go here and I can't come tonight and all this. So he said, okay, you get 6 absences. I don't want to hear it anymore. That's it. It doesn't matter to me. If you're not here tonight, you're not here. That's it. And so finally, you know, with all of that, he said something that was interesting, and it applies in life. He said, when I was singing in the choir, he said, you didn't have to make me come to choir rehearsal. He said, because I wanted to be in it. And he said, I moved everything around in my life to be in that choir rehearsal. And he said, I would drive to Philly to sing with this group. And he said, I wanted to be in that. And it made me think about this. When you are steadfast, when you're loyal to something, you don't even think about not doing it. You don't. It never crosses your mind to be disloyal to something you love. It doesn't even enter your mind. Then when it doesn't enter your mind, you're not wavering. You're what? You're fixed. I don't even think about not being loyal to this. It don't even enter my mind. And that's what we're talking about here. When you're steadfast and you're firm and fixed, you're loyal to it. And that can apply to, you know, across the board to a number of things. So let me this is the Phillips translation of Matthew 6:33. It says, set your heart on his kingdom and his goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. See, when you set your heart on him, all the things that we want in life, God already knows that. You know, I remember a period of my life where, you know, we all go through these things in life, whether you're single or married. You want things, right? We all do. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. Or you're lying. Because we all want things in life, right? We want more things, right? But I remember, you know, you start going down and saying, boy, I don't have this yet, I don't have this yet, I don't have this, and I want this. And you're watching time go by, right? And what does that make you do? Makes you feel anxious a little bit, right? You see your time ticking away. It's like, you know, it's like a woman who says, I got to have kids because time is ticking away here. I'm getting older, right? So time is ticking away. And men have the same thoughts. I'm getting older. I don't have this. I don't have this. That's a natural thing, right? There's nothing, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But this says here, if you'll seek him first, all these other things that you want or desire will come. As a matter of course, you put him first. And I remember, you know, those a time when the Lord spoke to me. See, I give you little snippets of what the Lord said when he said to me, when I started to laugh at the sickness in my body, the Holy Ghost began to speak to me about my finances. And he said, if you will work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So a lot of the things that when we talk about putting him first, he wants us to, he'll give you more than you can handle. But how are you going to get it? You going to get it by working hard? Nothing wrong with working hard. But you could work 5 jobs and still never reach all the things that you desire. And be wore out and frustrated and mad at God. But he said, seek me first, operate in faith, because that's what it says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is what? A rewarder. That those that diligently seek him. So whatever you're called to do in life, all of those things that we desire, God's put that in us. There's nothing wrong with that. He wants us to prosper and be in health and have these things and to be an example to the world, but it's not an example to see what I got because I work so hard and I'm so smart. It's look what I've gotten from the Lord because I put him first. See? And so this steadfastness and this firmness has to come from a purpose that I'm serving him first. I'm putting him first. And in that, God can use us to do things, and it says here, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me read some other scriptures here. Psalm 108, verse 1, it says, O God, my heart is fixed. My heart's fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Psalm 112, verse 7, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, a couple of things that came to mind is that all through Jesus' ministry, he used these two words all through his ministry. Follow me. Follow me. And some did, and some said, that's a hard saying. And that's no different today. God gives us all choices to make. He said, I'll come over here. And he may not expose all and show you everything, but he'll say, come over here. And he'll give you an opportunity to say yes or I can't. Let's see what Jesus said. This was when at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus spoke to Peter and Andrew. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then there was another instance in Matthew 8 when one of the disciples came and they wanted to bury some relative, and he said, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. Matthew 16, he said, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So these are some things I wanted to focus on, just this one word, being steadfast, which actually, if you could look at it, it means to be loyal, means to be faithful. Faithfulness means to have devotion. And that all is going to come, that word steadfast, really you could say is faith, faithful. And it's going to take that because I know, you know, the turmoil, you know, if you being spiritual, and I'll say it that way, this group here being spiritual, you can see the tensions in the world today and the things going on. It's more pronounced, it's more visible to the spiritual person to see what's going on in this world today and the hatred and all of the things that are going on. And it's going to take a person who's steadfast and loyal to him. And you better have your heart fixed and know, as they say, who you serve. Because you're going to be questioned, and you're going to, you know, there's, how do we say it? There's no love for that, you know, where God is concerned, with the things of where the things of God are concerned. And so you need to be able to know who you serve, why you serve, and you're fixed. There's no you're not moving off of this, and that I'm serving God. And I don't know why I'm going down this direction tonight. God knows the hearts of the people here, but I will say this, that hearing what the Holy Ghost even just spoke here is that he's saying, what are you waiting for? I've done everything. It's time to get to work. And all of the things that we hold on to as maybe reasons why I can't. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough education. I don't have this. I don't have that. I've got all of these responsibilities. God's not telling us to not be responsible. But what he's saying is this. It's like Brother Hagin used to say. Teach the word. Get up and teach the word. And give space for the Holy Ghost to move. If he wants. If he doesn't, teach the word. And that's the way we are in life. Do those things that you're responsible to do in life, but give him space to direct you and move. And that's where we need to be. Steadfast. Steadfast in what? I serve God. I'll obey him, whatever it is. Whatever the cost, Lord, I will obey you because I love you. And I'm fixed. My heart's fixed in that. And I'm not moved. I'm unmovable off of that. And because of that, I'm abounding in your work. It's quiet in here, but you're processing or you already know this, but I'm just telling you this. I know the Holy Ghost voice. And I know him. And we need to, I'll say it this way, time is short, and we need to be available for God to use us however he wants to. Because sometimes, I remember Pastor Sarah and Clinton saying this. They said, what did Pastor Sarah say? You were not my first choice. So that means there were others that God wanted to raise up but wouldn't obey. And so there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that need to be reached before Christ comes. And whatever God has called you to do. Now I'll say this also. If God has called you to be in the corporate world for the purpose of making money to support the gospel, then you be there. Because that's a call. So don't get me wrong and think that, you know, everybody's got to quit their job and do that. No, there are those that are called to be in the corporate world to make money to support the gospel and to be a light in that setting. Not everybody is called to do that. So God is, we know this, is varied. He'll put people where he chooses to. Amen. So what are we going to do? We're going to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means whatever it is, whatever I do is not insignificant, whatever that work is. Large or small, it's not insignificant. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, there's no... You know, I'm like this. This is me now. I'm talking me where my heart is. If someone tries to get me to go in a different direction than where I am, sayonara. You know how they do on Facebook? Unfriend. Doesn't mean we can't be friends, but I'm not walking with you because it says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So if you can't hook up with where I'm going, we can't walk together. See, because your friends and your associations, see, it was like that a person, we showed a clip at leadership meeting of this man called John Ramirez from the Bronx. The application's still the same. He was involved in witchcraft and Santeria and so forth. He's a member of Times Square Church. But he said he would be used by the devil to speak. He'd leave his body and speak curses into parts of New York City, different cities, countries. He said, but wherever there was prayer and agreement, he had no access. He couldn't do anything. And when your friends don't have the same heart as you, and you walk with them, then you open your heart up to what they speak into your life. You expose yourself. Now, I'm not saying your friends, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying your friends are devils. I'm not, but my point is the application is still the same. When their heart doesn't beat the same as your heart, and you open it up because you're friends, then you open your heart up to the words that they speak. And those words can drop down in your heart and do what? Have an effect on it. So we need to walk with those that walk the same way, speak the same things, because it can impact our faithfulness to God. It absolutely can. You're known by the, what'd your mama say? You're known by the company you keep. It's the truth. So we need to walk with those. That's why I like what Brother Hagin says. He said, you know, you need to be walk with those that are in the same camp, that speak the same thing. It's kind of in the same thing, same way. Walk with those that agree with you. You're steadfast. You will continue to be steadfast. Amen.